Welcome to the Brave Parenting Podcast, an examination of the Bible and how parents can apply God's word to raising kids in a culture saturated with media and technology. Hello, welcome. I am your host, Kelly Newcomb, and you guys, guess who is back? My trusty sidekick, Chelsea Heasel.
What is up, you guys? It is great to be back. It's been a hot second. It's good to be back behind the mic, Kelly. And today, you guys, we're going to be talking about something that's just really been burdening my heart. Well, I think, actually, Kel, it's been burdening both of our hearts, really. And this is baby and toddler screen time. But most specifically, we're going to be talking about Miss Rachel today, aren't we?
Yeah. So it's something I feel like I'm hearing more and more of instead of less of. I'd like to be thinking that people are kind of like, oh, no, we shouldn't give our babies screen time. But instead, I'm hearing more and more parents of young babies under the age of one and toddlers giving more of this screen time. So granted, I know our audience has not spanned the globe yet. So there are parents who just may not know those risks. We've talked about it a lot of times before, but maybe you just don't know about the dangers of infant and toddler screen time. So we are just going to talk about that today.
Absolutely. So I'm going to start by saying this is more about infant and toddler screen time than it is about Miss Rachel. It's just because we're going to use Miss Rachel's name a lot because she's hooked babies. She's hooked parents. And so she's going to be our example. Now, if you're a parent of a teenager or a middle schooler, please don't stop listening, because while this message may not directly affect you, it could be helpful information for someone you know and love. So what we would love is if you appreciate this message, you would be willing to share it, this specific episode, with a friend of a little, because first, you believe it's edifying, and two, because you love them. And if you're a parent of a baby or a toddler and you have a small, precious moment of downtime, we don't want to belabor a very long intro. We just want you to know how much we appreciate you choosing to listen to us during that precious, I say, almost sacred moment of peace and quiet.
Yeah, with that said, let's get started. This is going to be a straight to the point kind of podcast. The question that we have been asked by some, but honestly, I would say not enough, is this: should parents let their infants and toddlers watch Miss Rachel or other early education shows? Because that is what Miss Rachel is deemed as. It's not like your 5-minute instant gratification, you know, fast pace and funny clip. This is like a long episode that's supposed to teach your children how to speak and how to talk. And so they are definitely deeming this early education. So should parents allow this? We're going to break down our response into 3 parts. And frankly, again, it doesn't really matter if it's Miss Rachel or Mr. Rogers for this first reason. And that is this YouTube screen time. And I say YouTube, that's just where it's all posted. It happens most on a phone or a tablet, right? This isn't generally happening on a television, which is not as personally engaging. And that personal phone and that personal tablet, there are distinct disadvantages to personal screen time. And the American Academy of Pediatrics and the World Health Organization and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry all say no personal screen time, or really none, not even televisions, if we're honest, under the age of 18 months old. 0 of that screen time. Now, the only caveat they do give is allowing video chatting with family members. Now, after 18 months, they allow for 30 minutes of high quality co-viewed content between the ages of 18 months and 24 months. So basically 2. Now, even then, even in that 6-month range and after 24 months, you still have to preview all of the content to know that it's safe. In case you didn't know, YouTube videos are not all safe. And so you need to know that. So even Miss Rachel content, you should be previewing, or you should be co-viewing, even if your child is over the age of 2, or maybe between 18 months and 24 months. You should be co-viewing and previewing that to make sure that there isn't anything that's going to surprise you. And I would argue that if you really want your child to learn to speak with the help of Miss Rachel, you need to be not only just co-viewing that, you need to be making all of those sounds and those facial expressions right there in front of your child. Don't just let Ms. Rachel do all that work. You as the parent should be just as equally engaged after 18 months old, never before 18 months old.
I think that's a great point, Kelly, because we're asking parents not to just like hand over a screen passively, but to be active and with their child and engaged with them. I can't tell you how many parents have said, my kids were on YouTube and an ad popped up, or there was a weird video in the algorithm that, you know, we thought it was going to be Miss Rachel, but the next video is actually something way worse than early education. And I think that's what parents forget, is the algorithm is not trained to treat your child respectfully the way you would want them to be treated. The algorithm is a dirty machine a lot of times. What's also interesting in my research, Kelly, is that most of Miss Rachel's videos are about an hour, and sometimes they're even an hour and a half long, right? They play one after another. Can you imagine how easy it would be for a baby or for a toddler just to be on the phone for 3 hours? It's just way too easy. Like, it is way too easy for something like that to happen, especially if you're passively parenting. You're just handing that screen over and letting Miss Rachel do the work.
That's what a lot of people want to do, is they say, okay, Miss Rachel, we know that's safe. It's better than, say, like Coco Melon or something else. We think that it's better. So we do just passively hand it over without previewing it, because we're just automatically trusting it's safe. And we're just really urging parents to co-view. You've got to do it. It's not a babysitter at that age. It cannot be. It needs to be full active engagement.
That's absolutely right. So our second point, again, is just straight to the point, you guys. There are no known benefits for babies on screens. None. Last year, we had a pediatrician on the podcast to talk about this very fact. In fact, all research is pointing to detriment. Any YouTube show that is making the claim that your child is going to reap long-term educational benefits from their content is selling you snake oil. There is not a single long-term study out there that can support that claim. Interestingly enough, what is out there is a long-term study released in 2023, which we will link in the show notes, but it found out that babies under the age of 2 years old who were overexposed to screen time actually experienced delays in executive functioning, which means their frontal lobe wasn't developing on time. They had increased theta brainwaves, which were linked to inattention issues. There were actually potential speech delays, and an overall, there was a damage to the parent-child relationship due to both of them having spent less quality time with each other.
And let me just jump in real quick and say, they can't ethically do a lot of these studies. So this is just like after the fact research, asking questions of parents and doing kind of that style of research of knowing what kind of screen time a child had. Because ethically, these researchers cannot just, let's give this, you know, 1 year old massive amount of screen time and then see what kind of delays they have, right? They can't do that. So that's something to also keep in mind, that this research isn't completely causative. Like, one isn't directly causing the other, but what they know, this is what they're seeing.
I think it would be really horrible, a horrible feeling as a parent to think that you're giving them something you thought would actually help them when it's actually going to hurt them. Like, Miss Rachel is supposed to be helping speech development when actually it could be impacting and hurting speech development. I mean, the irony there is just it's very interesting. It causes me as a parent to pause and consider whether or not I would be making the right choices for my child.
And we can think of it, you know, my profession is as a pharmacist. We, as parents, really are concerned about giving our kids certain medications, certain prescription drugs, because we don't know. Like, could you imagine just giving your child a medication or a prescription drug that has not been tested in an infant or a toddler? You have no idea if it's safety and effectiveness. So the same thing that we really, I think, need to be putting that these screens in this early education, quote, you know, videos in that same category. It's not tested to be safe, but yet they are consuming it just as they would a medication. And we don't know those damages. So if you wouldn't give them a medicine that's not been tested, the same thing goes for these videos.
That is such an excellent point. And I think this kind of takes us to our third point, and I just kind of briefly mentioned it, was that diminished relationship between us and our baby. Listen, you guys, neither Kelly or myself is going to tell you that parenting is easy. It is not. I mean, I can remember when my kids were little, and there was almost like a low-key desperation that was always in my heart because parenting was so demanding. The experience of parenting, it's kind of like a refining fire. That's the best way I can describe it. And there are things like weakness and jealousy and laziness and pride, and all those things kind of boil up to the top in that fire. And that is a place where God can skim off what's not good. But if you're not experiencing the heat of parenting because you're allowing the screen to serve as a pacifier, then those weaknesses and those sinful habits are not going to go away. They're going to be stuck there for years to come. And unfortunately, these short years are intensely demanding, but they are preparing you for the later years of a different kind of intensity and a different kind of demand. So what happens right now in so many ways is incredibly important. So for example, if you just hand over a screen and allow Miss Rachel to soothe your child when he or she gets a little rambunctious, who or what is that baby going to begin to depend on? And unfortunately, it's not going to be you, mom or dad. I mean, look to the future. Look at when he's 4 or 5 years old at that habit that you've built, that an hour of screen time just doesn't soothe anymore. And it can't just be Miss Rachel because she's not fun anymore. It has to be longer and it has to be different. And what inevitably happens is that that time has to be increased and it's hard. And because in your heart, patience was never developed, but also because patience in your child's heart was never developed, you just give in. You cave and you give in to the demand of what they want.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say I'm doing the grandparenting thing a lot right now, have my granddaughter a lot, and it is hard. I'm remembering how hard it is to just be like on 24/7. And I want to tell you, like, we are very intentional about not allowing that screen. And that's what we have to do, is we really have to fight that flesh. So I just want to be honest with everybody and say, hey, I'm fighting this now too, again, all over again with grandparenting. But what I want to do after those three great responses that we gave you, I want to present this from a biblical perspective, because this is, of course, this is the best reason. Like, we can look at science, we can look at some of these institutions of experts and what they have to say in the research, but ultimately it comes down to what God has to say. And when I was thinking about this, Chelsea, I thought about just the idea of servant leadership. Like, this is what Jesus modeled during his earthly ministry. He served. He did not consider himself more important than others, right? He washed the disciples' feet. He instructed them, like, in order to be the greatest, they had to humble themselves and be like the lowliest of servants. So let me read here in Philippians 2. It says, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. So let me pause there for a second. And I think, you know, one of our greatest goals in parenting should be to show our children Jesus. They should see Jesus in us because we are trying to look like him, walk like him, model his Christ, the Christ-like character that he demonstrated. And so, yeah, we talk about Jesus. We talk about the good news of the gospel, but we literally have to show them by doing not what's in our own interest, but what is in their interest. Because if we don't, when they grow up and they are processing the faith and the meaning of Christianity, because they all will, like, there's a point where they have to take it on themselves and own it for themselves, their faith, they're going to spot our hypocrisy and they'll likely leave Christianity. This happens so many times. You can talk to tons of Christian parents who maybe did not model it as well as they thought that they were doing, or maybe as well as they wanted to. And maybe this wasn't the case when we were kids, because decades ago, we were in probably a more Christian society, but now we are very much a post-Christian world. And if Christianity is not real in front of our kids, like, it has to be real and that we are unwavering and faithfully living it out, our kids are going to just be like, yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. I'm just going to reject it. It's just not for me, right? If they did not see Christ modeled, they're just going to walk away. So this is what Paul is saying in his letter to the Philippians. He's saying, have this attitude in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. That is the attitude that we are supposed to have, that we do what is best for our kids, not just what's best for us. And let's just be honest, right? Screen time is best for us. That, as parents, like, that's just what it is. We don't know that it's good for them. They may say that they want it, but we don't know that it's good for them. And what Jesus is saying is, what Paul is saying is, there's no middle ground here, right? You're just supposed to be like Jesus. That's just it. If you are a follower, you are to model his character. So let me pick up in verse 6, as Paul exalts the example of Christ's life. He says this in verse 6, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12, so then, my beloved, just as you have obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Now, it's a long verse, Philippians 2. We started in verse 4, and we ended in verse 15. But what we see here is Jesus emptied himself. He lived like a servant. He was obedient. He died for others. He is our King. At his name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. So if this research showing the detriment of screen time under 2 years old wasn't enough, you know, I just urge you to consider Christ. That's what the author of Hebrews in 12:3 says. Consider Christ so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. We know it's hard. It's so hard to parent babies and toddlers. But we need to consider Christ and not lose heart. This is how we are to parent. It's just through servant leadership. It doesn't mean that you're a slave to your child. It doesn't mean that you serve them up every desire and every whim that they want. Right? Being a servant leader, parent, means that you just put their needs before yours. It also means sacrificing. And yes, it means suffering. But that suffering, right? You guys, it's doing something. It's not just suffering for no point. That suffering never returns void, because when done in obedience to Christ, it is for our good and it is for the good of our children, right? Saying no to screen time and dealing with whininess, or saying no to screen time and playing another game of Candyland or whatever it is when you could go do something that may be more pleasurable for you, that is for our children's good. And I just want to draw your attention real quick to the idea of needs, right? It's not a need. Being pacified with the screen is not a need. Frankly, it's not your kids' want, because they don't know the difference until you, the parent, make the decision to put that screen in front of them. That is our choice as parents, and we have to own that choice. So there's no shame or blame if you did it and you didn't know, right? If you have friends or sisters or family members who are doing this and you're like, oh, this is terrible. Same thing for them. No shame or no blame, but just help them to see and understand what kind of damage this could possibly be doing. If nothing else, like you said, Chelsea, it damages that relationship. So I just want to lovingly just, you know, argue and admonish against giving your child the quote educational entertainment of Miss Rachel or whatever else is out there. This just isn't the life that Christ called us to. It's not the life of a true believer. As Christian parents, we should seek to humbly live like Christ and consider our kids' needs above ours. I think this is really, I would say, the most important point that we could land on.
I think those are all really fantastically hard truths, but they're hard in that good way. It's like working out and, you know, like you busted a sweat and your body is going to ache the next day, but you did something good.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we need to remember, is like, this is good. Like, this is that good kind of hard. It's not the hard that's going to crush you in a bad way. I think denying our flesh, good. Sacrifice, good. But the suffering, like you said, it's hard, but it is doing something for the glory of God. Okay, you guys, so let's just kind of review our top three reasons why a baby or toddler should not be allowed on a device, whether that's with Miss Rachel or anything else. First, no parenting institution or reputable expert recommends it. Second, there are no verifiable long-term benefits that are healthy for your children to continue engaging on passive screen time. And third, early screen time diminishes the parent-child relationship and it diminishes the modeling of Christ. So we hope right now that you're thinking differently about how you're going to manage your baby and screen time. So now we kind of want to pivot in our podcast and we want to encourage those thoughts with some good news. First, God has chosen you, mom or dad, to be your baby's parent. And that's true whether you are in Christ or not, because he has specifically chosen you because he is sovereign over all things. Now to our Christian parents, we just want to say, take heart. Take heart, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of one of power and of love and of self-control. We meet parents all the time who are struggling with a spirit of fear. They doubt their ability to raise their children, but no one can do it better than you, because you were chosen and you are all that your baby wants. He doesn't want or need Miss Rachel or whoever. And I know right now you might be thinking, but I know me. I know how bad or ill-equipped I am, and I know my heart. I know that I'm not enough. And you know what? God knows that too. But he still gave you that precious baby, and he still chose you, which kind of brings us to even better news. You can do incredibly hard things because God's power is made perfect in weakness. You can say no to screen time. You can absolutely do that. You can resist the temptation of the screen by choosing to sacrifice like Christ chose to sacrifice for us, because you have been given a spirit of self-control. And when our weaknesses are on display and we choose Christ, we are then able to boast in him and what he is doing in us, which gives us the ability to put off that comfort we want and put on self-control. Now to our parents who don't yet know Christ, Kelly and I desperately want you to know that any success she or I or any other Christian parent has ever had is not because about us. It is because about it is because of Jesus. When we became Christians, we surrendered everything to him. And nothing that we have now, our goodness or our badness, belongs to us. It all belongs to him. Christ died for us and he took away all the sins that were associated with us. And he attached his perfect record to our name. He gave us the Spirit of God to live in us and to change our hearts. And now he guides us in life by his word. And that invitation was extended to Kelly and I years ago, and it radically changed our life. And now that same invitation is being extended to you right now. We want you to know, to love, and to worship Jesus, who is the author and the perfecter of our faith.
Amen. Yeah. And if you have, I say this because people are coming to us who aren't actually the ones watching all of this early education, but it's their family, it's their friends, you know. And that's what's heartbreaking. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And I just would encourage all of you to just really be praying for that friend or for that sibling or for that cousin or whoever it is that is allowing that screen time and it breaks your heart. Just really be praying for them. Pray that God would give you the opportunity to speak some wisdom or share this podcast or share something else, because there is definitely power in that. And again, I just want to return to a very practical tip. I know we've just been very serious, but this practical tip, y'all, I really want to focus on it, because this is the key. If you are going to allow this, you have to be doing it. My actual best tip is you just watch Miss Rachel yourself. If you know that your kid loves it, you just watch it yourself. Go take your lunch break. Go watch it. You practice everything Miss Rachel does, because she has like a degree in speech pathology or something. I think she's actually qualified to do what she's doing. But you learn from her, and then you go home and you do it to your kid, because your kid really wants to see you making all those faces, teaching all those sounds, teaching them to speak and talk and do all of that. And if you're just like, why would I do that? That's boring. Well, then that's a heart issue. And there's a whole lot more to wrestle with. But ultimately, your child wants to see you, not Miss Rachel. So when they're begging for the phone, it's not that they want the phone, or it's not that they want Miss Rachel. They want that engagement. And how much better would it be if that's from you, right? Amen. All right. So listen, you guys, today's podcast, a lot of it comes from our baby dedication curriculum, which is also built off of my book, Managing Media, Creating Character. And so there's a lot more that we could unpack. We wanted to keep it very short and to the point for you today. But if you too are passionate about this and you want to bring this message to your church, we are going to churches. We are doing this baby dedication curriculum for parents to help prepare them as they get ready to dedicate their child. Because what are you actually being dedicated to? Are you dedicated to keeping your kids off screens? Well, we are dedicated to help you do that. So there's a link in the show notes that you can contact us for resources to schedule a speaking event. We would just love to partner with you or your local churches so we can equip more parents in this hard and brave work of parenting. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Until next week, go and be brave.